In Romans 15, there it, verse 4, Apostle Paul said, for whatsoever things are written, aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. As Israel was entering Canaan, God gave them what I have termed a rule of success. As long as Israel adhered to this rule, they indeed did have success. And I am convinced that this rule today will give us success just as it did to the nation of Israel. Obviously, everyone is looking for success. So let's think about this rule of success from Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and we'll be reading through verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The first part of this rule that God gave to Israel concerning the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This says to us that we must hear God's law. We are blessed today with Bibles so plentifully that there should not be anyone without a Bible, the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 28, there verse 9, Solomon said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. In Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 22, there the text says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And Moses told them about a prophet who was going to be raised up. And they would hear that prophet. And as Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We develop faith in God, faith in Christ, by hearing his word. So we must hear God's law, but we must also speak God's law, as we noted there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This law was not to depart out of their mouth. They were to continue to speak God's law. Tell other people about God's law. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. Jeremiah says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The word oracle simply means the spoken word of God. The word that came out of God's mouth. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Be actively speaking God's word. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, remember the apostle said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They couldn't do anything else but speak that. Jeremiah, a long time ago, made the statement that he wasn't going to speak anymore in the name of the Lord. But he said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. If God's word is in us as it ought to be, then we will be unable to keep from speaking God's law. Another part of this rule that was given there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 was to meditate day and night in the book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Remember Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need to be very careful about what we think about. Because the things that we think about is what we actually become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you meditate on a regular basis? In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, David made this statement. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he pronounced a blessing on the man that does not do some things. This blessed man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The idea of the word delight there, it means to take pleasure in. This blessed man takes pleasure in the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. We are instructed to meditate on these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. The word meditate means to revolve around in one's mind. Over and over and over. Just tumble these things over in your mind on a regular basis. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We have a lot of distractions in our society today. We have something in our living rooms, at least most people do, that distract us on a regular basis. Some of it is somewhat good, but most of it is really, really bad. Our minds at times need to be distracted from certain things. We get all caught up in work and we worry and we fume and we fuss about all the things that we're involved in. And so sometimes there's some good distractions that takes our minds off of some things that we have to, as a result of our particular work, we have to concentrate on those things and think about them very determinedly on a regular basis. And so there's sometimes good in being distracted from those things. But we don't need to allow ourselves to be distracted from the Word of God. Think on these things. As Paul, or Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Paul talked about the Bereans. He said, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily to see if those things taught were so. You'll notice in all of these passages that we looked at here, the idea of searching looking at, meditating upon God's Word is of paramount importance. That's part of this rule of success. Don't let the law of God depart from your mouth. Talk about it on a regular basis. Talk to your co-workers. Talk to your family. Talk to anyone that you come in contact with about God's Word. We don't have a problem talking with people about a lot of things. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about sports. We can talk about vacations. We can talk about our children. We can talk about a whole lot of things. But somehow or other, we just seem to never get around to talking about spiritual things. And I think one of the reasons for that is that the Word of God is not in our heart. As Jeremiah said, as a burning fire. And as a result, he said, I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Meditate thereon day and night. You notice also in the same text, do all things written therein. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now obviously you can't do what's written therein if you don't know what's written therein. And that's the reason he begins with not letting this depart out of your mouth. You talk about it. You think about it. You meditate on it day and night. Then you know what it says do. Then you can do what it says. Understand that God is always required obedience. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The one who is going to receive the promised reward is the one who does the will of the Father. Doing his will. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, there the text says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. King James Version uses the word duty, the whole duty of man. But the word duty really is not in the original text. What it says is that this is the whole of man. This is what man is all about. Fearing God, that means respect and reverencing God, and keeping his commandments. That's what we're all about. We need to be aware of the fact that we need to be doing what the Lord requires of us. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you say you know him, and you're not doing what he says, John, by inspiration, said you're a liar. I didn't say that. John did. Obedience was required of all the patriarchs. As you go back and you look through all the Old Testament, it was obedience that caused individuals to be found pleasing in the sight of God. When they disobeyed, then they experienced God's wrath. Now, God doesn't punish us immediately like he has in times gone by, but God will punish. We're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire if we're not found doing the will of the Lord. Because you see, inactive religion, James says, is vain. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And a lot of people claim to have faith. But James says, if you say you have faith and you don't do, your faith is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, what happened? Notice James says, when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. God told Abraham, you take your son, your only son, and you go and you sacrifice it in the place that I will show you. Abraham did that. He had the knife drawn back and was about to slay his son when God stayed his hand and said, now I know. God knew that Abraham would do exactly what he said. And so God provided a sacrifice for Abraham to offer instead of his son. But the text says he was justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or made complete. is incomplete without doing what the Lord says do. And understand that we are limited by all that is written. Notice again the text, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We are limited by all that is written. There is one gospel. Paul talked about some who had perverted the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel you so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel to you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You notice there the Apostle Paul includes himself as well as the other apostles. But though we, and then he says an angel from heaven, anyone who would preach another gospel, it would be a perverted gospel. And they were to be accursed. If you preach any other gospel that what you have received, let him be accursed. All things that are written therein, we must be limited by those things that are within the gospel of Christ. 2 John verse 9 through 11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. You don't even wish them well, if they're not bringing this doctrine. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So someone's teaching something other than what is revealed in Scripture, and I bid them Godspeed, if I wish them well in what they're doing and teaching, then I'm just as guilty as they are. That's what the Scripture is pointing out to us. We are to speak as the oracles of God, Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The Word of God. The Word God has spoken. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If we're going to speak, we have to speak according to what is written. That's part of this rule of success. Do all things that are written therein. So we are limited by the things that are written. Well, there's the rule of success. What about the results of following this rule? Notice again our text in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then. Notice the emphasis on the words for then. When? For then suggests an element of time. When they did this, when they followed this rule, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. They would make their way prosperous by following this rule. Notice David's description in Psalms chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. A very familiar passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We read that a moment ago. But his delight, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, his law does he meditate day and night. But now notice the rest of the passage. And he, who's the he? This blessed man. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah, God, they're not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You notice that he, the one who prospered, is the one who took delight in the law of the Lord day and night. You remember the statement that our Lord made in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that Jesus talked about in that context are material things. Things that we need in this life. Food, shelter, clothing. But what do we put first? What's the most prominent in our life? It's the kingdom of God. Meditate day and night. Think about spiritual things. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. This promise to Israel was conditional. Back up to verse 6 of our text. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. They were going to receive an inheritance. But that promise to receive the inheritance was conditional. Promises to God have always, without exception, have been conditional. This promise to Israel was conditional. The promises to Christians today are conditional. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if signifies a condition. If we keep his commandments. We don't know him if we don't keep his commandments. Entering the kingdom is conditional. Remember Matthew 7 verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but here's the condition. The one who's going to enter the kingdom is he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Entering the kingdom is conditioned upon doing the Father's will. Freedom from sin is conditional. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 17, but God be thanked, then whereas you were the servant of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. When were they made free from sin? After they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that system of teaching that had been delivered to them. Then they were made free from sin and became the servants of righteousness. Conditions. We understand conditions. We have conditions in a lot of things today. Just read your warranty on your new vehicle. If you want to read all the fine print on it, you'll find that there's a lot of conditions for that warranty. That's true basic of anything that you buy that has a warranty on it. Has conditions. We understand that idea of condition. Well, we understand the condition of success in the kingdom of God is based on conditions. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. That they, who's the they? Those who do his commandments. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Entering into the kingdom of heaven is conditional. Doing his commandments. A rule of success. Do we want to be successful today as a Christian, as a child of God? Just as Israel had to follow this rule to have the blessing of God, we too must follow this same rule if we want to have success. When Israel failed to follow this rule, they were punished. You remember the time when they were about to enter the land of Canaan? Spies had been selected. 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan. And they came back with a glowing report. But 10 of them said, we're not able to go up there and take this land. It's a land full of giants. It's got walled cities. And we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were in our own sight. And so they discouraged the people. God had told them, go up and take it. You remember Joshua and Caleb? They said, we are well able. They had seen the Lord bless them through all their travels from the time they left Egypt until this time. And now because they rebelled and would not go up and possess the land, you remember what happened to them. They didn't have success. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness until all that generation died. Who was part of the generation that left Egypt. They did not enter the land of Canaan because they failed to keep his law. We today, as Christians, must follow this rule to have the blessings of God. Read with me again, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Don't let the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Make sure you do what it says. Then you're going to have success. Your way is going to be prosperous, and you're going to have success. This same rule will give us the same results today. But when we fail to follow this rule, our punishment is going to be eternal. Remember those people who were of the age of 20 and older when they left Egypt? They all died in the wilderness. None of that generation was allowed to enter the promised land. Even Moses was not allowed to enter because he rebelled at God's rule. God said, speak to the rock. Moses and Aaron stood up in front of the people and said, here now you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And he hit the rock twice. Now previously God had told him to hit the rock. He did what he told him. This time he didn't. And God said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the people, you're not going to enter the land of Canaan. He took him up on a mountain and allowed him to see it, but wasn't allowed to enter in. Because he didn't continue to follow the rule. You see how vitally important it is today for us to follow this rule. To know what God's will is. To talk about it. To think about it all the time. And then do it. Then we can have success. But until then, we are not going to be successful. It may be that there are those in our audience this morning that recognize that they have not been following this rule that will bring success in their life. Remember, we read these passages that talk about the promise to Israel being conditional, the promise to Christians being conditional. We know God if we keep His commandments, 1 John 2:3. We enter the kingdom if we do His will, Matthew 7:21. We have freedom from sin if we render obedience, Romans 6:17-18. We have right to the tree of life if we keep His commandments. And so each of us needs to be asking ourselves the question this morning. Do I know His will? Am I thinking about it all the time? Am I talking about His will to other people? And am I following the rules? Unless I'm doing that, I don't have success. In order to be a part of the kingdom of God, there are rules that must be adhered to. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. It's absolutely essential one have faith. And then in Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Peter told those people on Pentecost, repent and be baptized. One must turn away from their sins, acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, as the Ethiopian did. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he was baptized, he was immersed for the remission of his sins. If you've not done that, we'd urge you to do it today. If you have done this and you realize that you have not been living by the rule of God, you have been giving Him preeminence. He has been predominant in your life. You need to return to Him today, repenting of your sin, confessing them, asking God to forgive you. He's promised that He will. So if you're in this audience this morning and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come. As we stand and sing, the songs have been selected for your encouragement.